Hi, I'm Jan Tusick. I am 66. Today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, and we're here in Missoula, Montana, with Steve Dagger and Kaylee Thornley. Steve's a dear old friend. Through the years, we've done a lot of things together, and Kaylee is a friend and colleague that we work together at Mission West.
And I'm Steve Dagger. My age is 71 years old. And today, as Jan said, is June 15th, 2022, and we're in Missoula, Montana. As Jan said, I'm with Jan Tusick, who I've worked with many years, and with Kaylee Thornley, who is one of Jan's colleagues and a new friend who I've been working with recently. Long time together, all of us.
And my name's Kaylee Thornley. I'm 28 years old, and today's date is Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. We're here in Missoula, and I'm here with Jan Tusick, who is a colleague of mine and a friend, and I'd say a mentor as well, at Mission West Community Development Partners, and also with Steve, who is a member of the Western Montana Growers Co-op and someone that I work with through working with the Growers Co-op. So just kind of to set the stage, today we're here to talk about the story of the Western Montana Growers Co-op and Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center. And more broadly, really, I think it's just the story generally of people working together here in Western Montana to grow our local food system. And both of you, along with many others, have played key roles in developing those two organizations I talked about and creating this vibrant local food system we have now. So that's why I picked you two to talk with. So I guess to start off, Jan, can you tell me a little bit about what Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center does and the work that you do?
Yeah, Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center is a division of Mission West Community Development Partners, and we're a nonprofit organization that is focused on economic development in the western region of Montana, particularly Ronan areas where we're located. And Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center is unique in that we house a full-scale food processing facility and are part of the Montana Food and Ag Development Centers that have nine across the state. And we're charged in that role to be working with food and agricultural businesses in their development. And for us, in the unique capacity, help them learn and build their ability to process their food products within our facilities. So we're deeply involved in food economy work is the way I like to term it.
And can you just tell me a little bit about yourself personally? You know, what brought you to Montana? You also have a farm. Can you tell me a little about that?
Sure. My husband and I have a sheep farm just south of Polson. We're both I'm semi-retired. He is retired, so we are not raising as many sheep as we were. At one point, we raised close to 200 ewes and lambs and grew an organic garden. And what brought us to Montana is we were on a road trip in a Volkswagen van, and we came over that hill at Dayton, and we went, yahoo, here we are. And our hearts never left. It was a very special trip, and we just were smitten. And that was back in 1980. And we found our land, and we have been on it ever since, and raised my son on our land, and now have grandchildren, which is a wonderful next step in our lives.
I've definitely had that same experience coming over that hill, so I can relate to that. Steve, can you tell me a little bit about Western Montana Growers Co-op and what the cooperative does?
Sure, sure, Kaylee. The Growers Cooperative is it's very similar to a lot of food cooperatives that have been occurring throughout history over the years, where people got together to facilitate their marketing and distribution of their food. So in a very simplistic way, the Western Montana Growers Cooperative was an entity that started about 23 years ago to amongst a group of local farmers. You know, they had this basic need of how to get their products on the market. And the food system at the time, you know, it had evolved into a lot of supermarkets and a lot. It's very different than in previous generations when a lot of food was produced locally. And there was this interest in changing things. So the Growers Cooperative was a group of growing, you know, producers that grew crops and grew and made products locally that wanted to band together to make it easier for themselves to economically survive. And, of course, this is where the connection with the JANS organization and the Food Enterprise Center comes in.
Thanks. So can you also tell me just a little bit about yourself personally and, you know, what brought you to this area? Talk about your farming experience.
Sure. I'm a little bit of an anomaly in the local food circles because I didn't come to this area with a background in agriculture. My early training and work was involved with, instead of food production, was involved with fiber production because I had schooled myself in forestry and I came to the Northern Rockies into the mountainous area to work with forestry and growing wood products and wood fiber for products. And so that's a little different take on things. So I was fairly young when I first came into this area. I had been working out west from the time I was 21. And I, like you guys, I came over a hill in Montana and when I was 28 years old, your age, Kaylee, and saw this area. And ended up with a job, a forestry job with a with the Forest Service in the Northwest Montana. So that got me to the area. And I've always had an interest in growing things. And, of course, trees are growing things too, except they stay in the ground, rooted in the ground for 100 years. And so it's a very different type of working with plants. But I kept my fingers in gardening, and eventually I married a woman who had a small farm and who was my connection with Jan, because Jane was had a small farm, and she and Jan and several other of their folks had been very involved in trying to enliven and enrich the agricultural community in Montana, in this part of Montana. And so that was my link to this current food system work we're doing.
So, yeah, you kind of got us started there, but I just want to go back to, like, about 23 years ago, mm-hmm. and for some context about me, that's, like, 20 years longer than I've been working with co-ops here in Montana, because I've been working here with cooperatives for about 3 years, and from my understanding and from what you've talked about, the story of the Western Montana Growers Co-op and Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center starts around the year 2000 with a project called the Montana Food Systems Initiative. Mm-hmm. And that was led by a statewide organization that's still around called Arrow. So, Jan, can you tell me a little bit about that food systems assessment mm-hmm. That was conducted in Montana and the projects and organizing that sparked that planning process?
Sure. I think it was just an amazing time for several individuals in Montana who had been coming together for prior that study and really were the leaders in food system work in this state. Jane Kyle, David Owen, Bob Quinn, Nancy Matheson. I mean, I can make a big old long list. Joan DeCrosby. I mean, and Arrow was this house that we all lived in and shared our visions and our passion. And it really gave us the development of leadership during that time was, to me, remarkable. It was a very unique time. And people were passionate about really looking at where our food comes from, how far does our food travel, how can we shift this food system that we're in right now and create new pathways. So with that, Arrow developed an assessment, a program that was funded by the Kellogg Foundation. And it was called the Local Food System Initiative. And several communities across the state engaged in this facilitated process to bring community members together to really dive deep into what is our food system, what is it to us now, and how can we create changes and new opportunities and pathways. So with that, we in this region of it was mainly Ronan, Mission Valley area. We did that process, and it is always, to me, so amazing to look back at you know, what we talked about, what was identified as, you know, just actions we wanted to pursue, and that how those actions came to be, you know, cooperatives, food processing infrastructure, people working together to build local food systems. And I think it's just was an amazing seed that got planted. But that seed was planted by an amazing group of new leaders in agriculture that were just so just passionate and engaged. And their values were so aligned that that's why things happened. Mm-hmm. And it was not only just food system. In my mind, it was a value system that was being built along it. So it was an incredible time.
And through that process, you know, what kind of were the needs that were identified mm-hmm. In terms of, you mentioned a co-op and mm-hmm. the food processing hub. How did those kind of come to the forefront as the things you wanted to address?
Well, there was a group of beef producers that were involved in that. Jerry Roselip was one. Mm-hmm. And they really said, we want to get our meat to market. And so what emerged out of that was Montana Natural Beef. And I think it also, that was one of the models that the Western Montana Growers Co-op could look at and say, you know, they're coming together, they're working together to explore the market opportunity. You know, how can they get to that end game of people eating their beef? Well, then that same type of action was created to look at local growers. And we had, prior to that, formed a small group of growers called the Mission Valley Organic Growers, because the organic movement was just really starting to get going. And with that, these growers started looking deeper at what their needs were, because they were part of that assessment. And, you know, when you don't have refrigeration, you don't have infrastructure, you don't have a truck, you know, it's very hard to move your food around and meet, you know, get to the people you want to get the food to. At the same time, Jane was full on in. Jane Kyle was in her CSA, the first in Montana. So there's this, just this, it was percolating all these activities, and I think they just started becoming more formalized and moving forward.
So we both work for Mission West Community Development Partners, which is an economic development organization, and it used to be called Lake County Community Development. And I know you've talked to me before about how that group of producers that were kind of getting together at that mm-hmm. time approached the local economic development organization. Can you tell me a little bit about what was that like to go to yeah. the economic development organization?
Well, Lake County Community Development was, again, the regional economic development organization, and we, the grower group, which I was part of, went there and spoke to Billy Lee about, hey, you know, you're an economic development organization. What are you doing for local agriculture? And those conversations started moving forward, and it was a new trend. For economic development, there wasn't one economic development organization in the state of Montana that was looking at agriculture as an economic vehicle. And we kept talking about food economies and how do we create local food economies? How do we bring some of those? When we did the assessment, it showed all the arrows going out of our state. How do we bring those arrows back in and start developing the capacity to move our food around and feed ourselves? And that's economic development. I mean, and Billy got it and was, you know, basically from that on, we had this great partnership with a nonprofit organization that could be a vehicle to help us pursue funding, to help us bring in those resources that you obviously need to start building processing capacity, start building the capacity of an emerging co-op. It needs resources to move it forward, and they were the vehicle that happened in.
Great. So now, Steve, yeah, I'll kind of turn to you. Can mm-hmm. you tell me a little bit about how, in your view and your memory, mm-hmm. how the Western Montana Growers Co-op got started?
Sure. You know, and I'll riff off of what Jan just said here, too. You know, much of what she was talking about in this energy building up was in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was in the area at that time, and I'll experience that from a outsider's viewpoint until about 2000 when I started getting more involved. But the real transition of all this build-up work that Jan's talking about that led into food cooperatives and that whole realm of the local food system development was a collaboration between Jane Kyle and Jan and a woman named Mary Stranahan, mm-hmm. who took that food initiative to the, you know, that the Kellogg money, and they paid Jane to look into, you know, kind of models of food cooperatives and what might work in Montana, and to sound the area out, to talk to farmers. So her role was critical, critical in getting people together and start thinking about a cooperative. And that all happened right at the millennial turn, around 2000. And the Growers Co-op came out of this collaboration. Mary Stranahan had started an organic farm and was having a lot of issues and problems with getting it going, because many of the young people who were idealistic and energized and wanted to get into this really didn't have the traditional background or the mm-hmm. traditional understanding of how to implement agriculture in a common sense way. So they needed to learn a lot as they went along, and there was a lot of mistakes made in infrastructure development and things like that. But the Growers Cooperative came out of that movement, and when five growers that Jane talked to actually sat down and says, let's try to do something. And this is where Jan has been my kind of role model. Is I was always a person that, you know, kind of needed a little bit more structure in terms of if I was going to do something, you know, like build a house, you have some plans and stuff. And, of course, there's a lot of planning involved. But the critical thing is sometimes you just need to get out and try to do something mm-hmm. and not sit back and wait and say, well, we can't do this or that. You know, you have to just go in and get your feet wet and figure out how to do it, which is what a lot of these young farmers were doing. So Jane got five people, five different farms, very small farms, one and a very diverse group of people. They weren't all back to the land hippies, and they weren't all there were, you know, not really any of the real traditional larger growers, but they were all small. But they signed on. They created a articles of incorporation and bylaws, which are a step you have to do under state law, with the help of the Food Enterprise Center and or the Mission Lake County, which was Mission West originally. And it's funny, you know, it started off a very not dysfunctional, but underfunded, under-resourced, low capacity thing that didn't look like it would ever get any traction. They were fortunate enough to get a business manager right out of kind of school, a newer guy, who was willing just to try anything and everything and work with people and just do what it took to keep this thing going. And with a lot of grant money and outside money, and with Mary Stranahan contributing a truck and mm-hmm. some farm ground and support that way, it got off the ground in a very low-key way. And amazingly, it took hold. I think this might be the point to say that within 2 to 4 years, some of the bigger local growers started getting interested. Mm-hmm. They saw the potential. Mm-hmm. And that they joined. Soon it was 10 growers instead of 5. And then that kind of gave it enough traction to actually survive from year to year for another 5 years. And a few more people trickled in every year. And the diversity of the growers expanded. We learned what needed to be done to make it more and more viable. We incorporated CSAs in the Growers Cooperative. And eventually, after about 10, 11 years, it started being able to pay its way. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's gone up. But as we'll get into talking later, I think, about the continuing challenges.
Yeah, so I guess I'm curious if either of you really have any sort of favorite stories from those early days of the cooperative, or maybe what were some of the challenges of working together? Mm-hmm. Just any memories, really, that you have of kind of that early stage of the co-op.
Who wants to go first here?
Oh, I'll jump in, because I do have some good stories, because I am a bit of a bulldog, and I do remember the days where, you know, when you're providing leadership and facilitation to a group of people, you always have to be, you have to be aware of when to let go. And, you know, again, I'm a bit of a bulldog, and I never forget when Jane had to corner me and sit me down and say, Jan, it's time to let go. and she was right, because there is that role of, you know, kind of this facilitative resource provider, but yet you want the autonomy to sit with those growers. You want them to become to be the leaders of their co-op and ownership and have that real empowerment. So as the, you know, outside, you know, kind of pulling the strings, trying to get the money, is a role really that we were, Mission West was helping with. It was so funny when Jane had to just say, now, Jan. And we were so close to one another that she could do it in her very, very direct, gentle way, which is what Jane Kyle has, is such an amazing quality.
Yeah, Jane, you know, Jane, she was a great critical thinker and and always willing to get in and do the work, always willing to get in and do the work. And I can visualize that situation. I don't remember specifically when that happened, but I wasn't always involved at that stage of the co-op development. And, again, the Arrow influence showed up there a lot, too, because that group was able to bounce ideas off each other in a very proactive, very positive way, and that carried over, I think, all of our realms of work from there on. And again, that's my favorite early stories, too, are all around kind of the personalities that were involved in the early development, from a bulldog Jan to, a Mark Weary, who was the first business manager, who was kind of, he was all over the board with what he would be willing to do. And, a lot of things didn't make a lot of sense, but they did in the core, you know. Mm-hmm. Early characters. I've got most of my stories with the co-op are about the people that were involved over the years. The reluctance of some of the well-established organic and early farms that made it on their own. They didn't want to be certified. They wanted to do everything themselves, and their realization that there is a way to cooperate and stuff. So, I guess I'll leave it at that.
Well, you kind of talked about, you know, how the Growers Co-op has really grown, and now it's, a much bigger organization than just those 5 or 10 original growers. So can you just kind of tell me about, you know, what did that growth look like, and what were some of the big milestones that the co-op hit?
Sure. The milestones are fairly easy to look back on, and you can see where turning points were. But, of course, there's a lot more behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on. As I said, the first 5 years, it was just a struggle to get enough product out there to make any inroads into the markets and be able to supply local places with food. But the local markets were hungry for local food, fresher food. Again, it was a wave that we were catching that was a larger wave of organic and local food across the whole country. A realization that our current system was actually kind of broken and still is to a large extent. And these are ways to fix it. So, the milestones, probably the biggest milestones in the cooperative were, you know, the original one of actually having some infrastructure and actually getting something going. And that was a very shoestring operation for about 5 years. Then we actually started expanding our capacities. You know, the first 5 years, we were well under, I think, still in the $100,000 gross sales range a year. But in the second 5 years, that jumped up to over $1 million, in just a five-year period. We were experiencing 10 to 20 to 30% growth per year, so averaging maybe 20% growth, which is kind of unheard of in a lot of business realms. So that, of course, made the next milestone was we outgrew any capacity we had very rapidly to distribute and to market the food. So We got more grant money. We went to the state with presentations and for Grow Montana, which was another project that came out of this food movement, Montana Food Initiative movement, mm-hmm. I believe, through Arrow and other groups. And we got a little more money, and we actually invested. We moved from the small town of Arlee, where we had based, where Mary's Farm was, where we had based our operations, to Missoula in about 2013, which was 10 years after we started. We started the move then. It took a couple of years. Had a bigger facility, got the money for bigger coolers, more trucks, and then all the, you know, the administration that goes with it. And we were up to, I don't know, 7 or 8 employees by that time, maybe a little more. So that was a huge milestone. It was a lot of discussions among the growers to get there, and for me, a very heartwarming thing to see how people could work together without beating their heads against, you know, a wall, or without fighting over things. There wasn't a total agreement on anything, but it never, you know, it was always, well, let's try this. You know, we ended up, well, let's try it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it worked out. A lot of volunteer effort, a lot of contributed money and time. A few key people that signed on to the co-op early and have made a career out of it, like Dave Prather and Jim Shugarik and stuff, got involved. And they carried it by just, you know, the stint of the determined of we're going to get it done, you mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. So the other milestone after we moved was stabilizing ourselves financially. And I got to say, we may never get there, but and it's still a very important objective. With the help of Lake County Development, we got some money to figure out how to financially manage a cooperative, you know, which was a skill that most of our owner members didn't have, and which was a skill our staff was weak in. And with talking with financial people and stuff, we got a better handle on that. And we've established basic goals. This was a milestone of, you know, what kind of returns are we looking at? What kind of infrastructure do we need to continue to support? So, you know, what are we meeting our mission? We want to always check back if we're meeting the mission, which has evolved a little bit, but which still does pretty much center on providing food locally to the Western Montana region. Mm-hmm. So now the next milestone is further expansion, because the co-op is at over 5 million gross now and still growing, and we've outgrown our capacity. And during the pandemic, I have to say, this was another milestone. The pandemic was a mixed bag for us. In many ways, it helped the co-op, both through the pandemic relief monies that we were able to get for offsetting wages and things and loan for interest-free loans, but also people started seriously changing their food buying habits, mm-hmm. and we were able to capitalize on that. Some of it pulled away from the growers co-op, and some of it added into the growers co-op. So that was another milestone. And now we've added a little bit of additional infrastructure, but we're actually looking at multi-million-dollar investment, and this is going to be a real hurdle. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility the co-op at this point, that obstacle could be so, difficult that we would actually kind of stabilize the volume we're going to deal with and stay and try to do a better job serving a smaller market rather than continuing to expand. It is a problem for businesses, including cooperative businesses, to get too big. Mm-hmm. Cooperatives are less likely to get too big than I think an entrepreneur would, but it's still there as a hazard.
And I mean, you kind of already talked about some of this stuff, but you know, what does the co-op kind of look like today in terms of, you know, the infrastructure that you have, mm-hmm. the amount of staff, the amount of members?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good. I guess what I said is a good lead in into the current status of the thing. The infrastructure we have now is something we worked with the North Missoula the Cooperative Development Group to take over an old warehouse in north part of Missoula was when we made the move from Arlee. And that's our base right now, our home office. And it's undersized for what we're doing now. There's not a lot of room for the trucks and stuff. We now have four trucks of our, you know, either lease or own trucks, larger trucks plus a small car and a smaller truck. And we have two freezers, a large and a large and a small, and I think two very large, one very large coolers, and and a medium-sized cooler. And we added on another warehouse outside of on the it's called Train Bridge. It's out towards the west end of Broadway. So we now have a satellite warehouse for the main warehouse, and a staff to run all of that of maybe 20 people now. That's 20 to 27 with temporaries and seasonals, and about half of those people are permanent, have full-time jobs at the co-op, and another half a dozen people have like two-third jobs, and then there's some temporaries. So it's grown quite a bit in that sense, and yeah, so that's kind of where it's at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, do you have anything to add in terms of milestones or the ways that, you know, Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center, and I know you talk about Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center kind of growing up with Western Montana Growers Co-op and how that's...
Yeah, I think we have grown up together. I mean, and again, I loved when Steve points out that how, you know, the growth has always been based on, you know, people coming together and just doing it or finding a path that might work. You know what? That takes trust. It takes a value system to work that way together. That's what's so unique about this development. And so we've had that same kind of relationship, when I say we, Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center, with the Growers Co-op. There's a bucket load of trust there. You know, it's just like when something comes up, it's that phone call, what do you think? Let's go. Let's do it. See what happens. And that just doesn't happen in our, I think what we see is our normal platform of doing business. So I say we're not doing business as usual. We do business based on trust. We do businesses based on common values. And with that, you know, the Growers Co-op has grown, and our facility has grown. We've developed numerous arms out of our nonprofit, farm to school, that during COVID, all the food access work that the West Montana Growers and our center and other partners across the state launched into. I mean, we just kind of dove head first into that, but it was important. Mm-hmm. It was important work to do. People needed food, and we were able to help them get food, and the Growers Co-op played a critical role in that. Our facility had infrastructure to store it, pack it. So it's kind of one of those things, again, that just comes together because the people who are working together have deep relationships. They've worked together for years, and those pathways are so easy to go down when you have that to work with. So I think that's, you know, to me, a real important piece of what has been going on through these crazy years.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like you both have, like, talked about this, but how do you think that the Western Montana Growers Co-op and Mission Mountain Food Enterprise Center have changed the food system here in Western Montana?
Oh, well, I think the West Montana Growers Co-op has been a kingpin. I mean, the cog that has brought the capacity that local growers could actually get their food not to local marketplaces, to individuals, through the CSA program, and our facility has been the house that people could come in and process those food products, store those food products. So we were that infrastructure. We also provided this ability to bring resources, whether it was, you know, capital, grant funding, or even technical assistance, expertise, to help make decisions you need when you're building food businesses, really. We're all doing food businesses. But it's got the caveat that, you know, it's called local food economies, and that we really developed our capacity to help people do that.
Yeah, I would take off from that too a little bit. That what happened and what surprised me in my role is in my role with the co-op. I was involved as one of the helping one of the growers, then as one of the growers, and on the board. And then as I phased out, I've been an advisor to the board since then. And and stayed with it. But what's been amazing is how much the co-op became a nationwide model for how to change a food system and how to get it more local. And all of a sudden, you know, we were being asked to give presentations to people, you know, and we had just gone in and winged this. You know, we didn't wing it totally. We used previous examples and other things too. But it just goes to show how people working together and the original Aero philosophy of improvement and continuous collaboration and working with what you have really does get you further down the road than maybe a more studied approach would. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. So I think the question I kind of wanted to maybe end off with was, if you were to, you know, I'm a younger person working in the food system and working with cooperatives. So if you were to sort of give advice to a younger person about that job or the effort that goes into local food systems work, what would that advice be?
I would just say that I get excited when I see young people wanting to become involved in food system work because that's critical to keep this path going forward. And it's all about passion. You know, when Kaylee came on board as Cooperative Development Center director, she started as a program manager, I spent 1 week with her and I went, bingo! She's got it. She's got the passion, you know, because it's so important that you care about the work that you do. And in food system work, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, it's just not an open path. And often you have a system out there, a food system out there that, again, Steve, you said was broken, mm-hmm. but it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And so we have to constantly be vigilant in, you know, supporting the work that we've been doing and bringing these young people on board to continue it and that they've got to care. And I think that's the most important thing. That attribute is huge. And I see a lot of young people coming in and, mm-hmm. you know, putting those shoes on of the people before them and continuing the work that is so important to me. It's very important.
Yeah, I'll second that because many of the younger farmers that are now members of the Growers Cooperative are now 10, 15 years into their careers, and they have amazed me with their acumen in terms of developing their farms and getting good at what they do, and they're becoming successful, which is great. And I think to you, Kaylee, my advice, and this is something that comes out of my non-food growing experiences. I was very much influenced by early conservationists like Aldo Leopold and by early ecologists like Eugene Odom to think in whole systems, to think in, you know, and when a food system is part of a larger system, as Jan has alluded to. And for you and your job, you know, the concepts of cooperatives are simple and the principles aren't that complicated. But when you start interacting with social engineering of systems, you have to think holistically. And this is where I think as a society and as a culture, you know, most of the cultures across the world have kind of fallen down. They've relied on technology to do everything instead of look at a whole system and see what they don't have to manipulate and do in order to produce the things that we need. You know, a cooperative is basically, conceptually it's simple. People or a group with a need got together to cooperate to meet that need. Mm-hmm. You know, it's simple as that. But when you start looking at the systems by which that can be done, it can gets increasing complexity, makes for a lot of, you know, difficulty in navigating, makes for a lot of inefficiencies. So I think, you know, your job is going to be to kind of make sense of the big pictures and make cross connections between things and take working models and getting people to collaborate, and getting also people to buy off on when common resources are not being effectively used or sustained or preserved, you know, show them how we could change what we're doing now to make that a more sustainable, viable thing for mm-hmm. human society.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to thank you guys both for talking with me today. And I'm so grateful for all the work that you've done and sort of the path that you've laid. I mean, it's so important. It's like food is literally the thing that sustains us and connects us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just really grateful for the chance to talk with you. And I feel like we could talk all day, but we've got to wrap it up.
Thank you, Kaylee.
Yeah, thanks a lot. This has been a great opportunity to to kind of story. We sometimes talk about things like this around the campfire. All right. Thanks. Thank you.